Spoiler alert.
Please be advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Well, guess what, everybody?
This is exciting. This is exciting. The War for the Planet of the Apes spoiler app with a Planet of the Apes expert.
I thought you were saying with a guy from the Planet of the Apes. With a guy who's been
from
living...
the future.
I am from the Planet of the Apes.
He's one of the few humans that can talk. He's been...
I got over it. Yeah. I got over the virus. Yeah, a little echinacea.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Vitamin C.
Acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. All right. I thought it was just all that clean living out in the Forbidden Zone.
There's a reason why they call it Forbidden, my friend.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. It's that kind of weekend.
It's a front.
ladies and gentlemen, this is our good friend Matt Weinhold.
Hi.
You've written for the site.
Yes.
Yes.
He's part of Comedy Film Nerds. He's.
I love you guys, and that's the main thing.
One of the writers.
I'm very, very fond of both of you.
Yeah, well,
and I'm
thank
not even
you.
Being smarmy Hollywood.
You're making it uncomfortable.
Yes.
Look, get it out of the way. Get it out of the way. I'm all hands the first 15 minutes, and then we can relax
things
and
settle
talk.
Down.
Yeah, once I get my little pervert thing
Matt is also
care of.
One of the writers on the Comedy Film Nerds book. He did the horror chapter and also
and
has his own.
That's because he's all hands.
That's because he's all hands. His hands are all over everything.
The octopus.
He just creeps his way.
Online handle.
Yes.
Squiddly diddly.
Yes. Maddie the Octopus, Weinhold, in studio.
And he has his own podcast, Monster Party.
Monster Party.
Which I've been on, you've been on.
Yes, I have. Now, and what I love
that's
about-
That's
two of my favorite episodes, seriously. Like,
really?
You guys, like, that was, both of these were so much fun. Chris, yours telling the whole story of your movie was like-
Asylum, yeah.
Was just like pure joy. And then you, when we did the crossovers- with the Jack Lord thing and Captain Kirk, blew my mind. Loved it.
It was so, your show is so fun.
What I love about it is it's a commitment. It's like, well, you don't just go do the podcast. You pencil in the evening.
Yeah, you're going to a party.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys
is.
Have
really
dinner.
We have dinner, we have drinks. Sure, you can do an hour, but, you know, whatever.
No, you come in, there's food, we start drinking, then we socialize for a little bit, and then we record. It really is. It's an evening party.
Anywhere that has free food.
Yeah.
We've learned that across the board. Denise Crosby, when we had her on, she was like, all you had to do is say free meal.
Yeah.
Nowhere there.
Well, you're just like, Graham, what do you want for dinner? I'm like, I'm in. Whatever you guys need me to do. Are we doing body painting? What are we doing? I'm in. I don't give a shit. Whatever you guys are into, furriness, whatever, cosplay, I don't care.
Oh, we got to do a furry.
Do a furry
We
got to
do a furry. And that's on camera. That has to be on camera.
Hey, man, if there's tofu pad Thai, dial me in, kid.
It's, you know.
Well, you know, we
some
you know,
crushed peanuts.
God
will
forbid,
do anything.
I just want to say that the water that you provided me here, very cold, very, very pure.
Thank the good people at All Things Comedy.
Yes.
I do. Thank you, people at All Things Comedy.
So let's get into it. Let's talk about War for the Planet.
Real quick. Real quick now.
All right. Wait.
If anyone's new, and we always got to do this every episode.
Yep.
Okay.
So every spoiler up, we always get new listeners, so we need people to know we are going to discuss every single aspect of War for the Planet of the Apes, including the ending. If you have not seen this movie and want to and don't want it spoiled, you need to hit the pause button and get yourself into a motion picture cinema and watch this film. All right.
Toot sweet.
That being said, let's get into it.
Yes. Now,
so Chris and I have talked about it on the regular episodes.
We both
liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I felt Dawn was a little stronger out of the three. Personally.
A little stronger.
Yeah. So now Matthew.
Now I felt that loaded look you just gave.
All right.
As much as I liked this movie, I did. I agree with you though. I think the second one was definitely the better film. Here was the thing about this film.
Okay.
It really was, like we were talking about, this really felt like Apocalypse Now with apes. And then I was saying, like, well, that was, you know, how many of these were we going to have? We just had, you know, Skull Island was like all these shots from Apocalypse Now that with a giant ape.
But like a whole generation just discovered that film.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, we're going to put this into everything.
This is good.
Yeah. So, but, you know, we have.
Who knew? Kurtz went nuts. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah.
Kurtz goes nuts.
Yeah.
He goes up the river, loses his shit.
So we literally have Woody Harrelson as Kurtz, and they're coming after him. Now, in the trailer, there was a shot that never made sense to me.
Okay.
And that was.
Only in the trailer, huh?
Only in the trailer. Okay.
All right, go ahead. I'm sensing Matt loved this film. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, I can't wait to let him go off. But just the first.
I just want to. Can I just throw in right now? No matter what happens, no matter what I say, I would just want to say I recommend going to see this film.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So there were these. There are helicopters in the trailer. I'm like, well, helicopters, but they're fighting the other soldiers. I know the apes aren't manning the helicopters. So I know clearly there is some other conflict going on. So I thought that was, on the one hand, interesting, where basically you have this rogue military operation with basically Colonel Kurtz, who went up, you know, out of his mind.
Love that idea.
And then, you know, all the other soldiers coming down and basically taking away his command. And then you have the apes in the middle of it.
Right.
So
that I did not see coming.
No, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't
either.
See that Woody Harrelson was the guy that went nuts and did it out of. And that scene where he is talking to Caesar and he's explaining it, and you realize, God, his crazy logic for doing this, like, I get it. I get where he's coming from. It's again,
and
going to Apocalypse Now.
He was chewing up the scenery.
Chewing up the scenery.
Yeah.
But again, it's the Colonel Kurtz of Apocalypse Now, who makes those points of, you know, we fucking napalm children, but a guy can't write fuck on his helmet, like that's detestable, which is the whole point of Apocalypse Now, was to show like we do not have the moral high ground here as we think that we do as Americans, but war is awful. So he's like, look, if we're going to go into war, Colonel Kurtz obviously is saying this, if we're going to go into war, let's cut the bullshit. Let's cut these fucking namby-pamby rules. Like, let's just start cutting people's heads off and stringing them the fuck up, and we're going to, you know, and that all
like
that stuff.
Like they do with the apes. Like, they put them on, they crucified the apes and they put them up.
So that, to me, was interesting. To then say, well, this is a guy that's seeing the potential end of the human race at the hands of these biogenetically engineered apes.
Right. I think
and
one
he's
of
not
my,
entirely wrong.
No,
right.
He's
I think
not.
One of my favorite lines was when he realized that these soldiers were not coming to join Woody Harrelson, they were coming to fight him. And he goes to Caesar, well, don't get too excited. The only thing they're more scared of than me is you.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were going to come and liberate the apes.
All right.
So now, Matt.
So Matt, you've been very,
very patient,
very
polite.
Quiet.
Yeah. So
but I feel
now I think it's time to
I
unleash
feel like
you.
I like
I
if
feel
you were
like,
just
I
sitting next to me in a
rage.
Bar and I didn't know you, I'd be like, this guy's ready to go.
Yeah.
I loved the last one, and all of them have things in them that make you go, oh, that's a little squirrely. That's a little sloppy screenwriting, but. They've got better. Like, I thought Dawn was better than Rise. And so I'm ready to like this. And especially when you sit down in that theater and you watch what they have done with these apes, the technical achievement of what they have done, it's mesmerizing.
Oh, Andy, we've talked about this. Andy Serkis needs an Oscar nomination.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you forget you're watching, like, every single shot is computer-generated motion capture. Like, the apes didn't really ride the horses.
So, right. Yeah. Yes.
So here's the thing. Like, I mean, movie actors usually get their nominations and show how good of an actor they are in the close-up, because it's the little, on a 40-foot screen, the little emotional micro expressions are magnified and you go, wow, that's so powerful. Andy Serkis is doing this.
In the mocap suit.
Yes, and it shows you also two things. Then it shows you how advanced the technology is, that they can take his actual human reactions and make them look like he's make it an ape. So that's fantastic. And there's some scenes I'm like, well, that's an acting. That's the fucking clip for the Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
That scene
right. Oh, yeah. There are so many moments in there where I am genuinely moved watching computer-generated imagery mixed with motion capture.
Right.
And astounded that I'm feeling this.
Yeah, because there's an actor underneath.
Yes. And mm-hmm. I really was mesmerized by that. Now, in any movie like that, where you're kind of wowed by the effects, then it gets to a point where that kind of starts to wear off, and now you're in the movie.
You need the story.
Yeah, and there's just so much of it that I just don't understand. Like, even the heavy-hitting political stuff, okay, that's fine, whatever. As long as you're telling me a good story.
Like what specifically?
Well, you know, build the wall. Okay, you know. Yeah. And also, I never understood the idea of, so in the movie, you know, they're building this. They're making the apes build this. They've captured all the apes.
By the way.
They've got them in a prison camp.
It wasn't a very good wall.
Well, that's the point. Like, first of all, what if you taught them to build a good wall?
Yeah, where's the Army Corps of Engineers? Don't you have any of those left?
How about Bob Vila?
They were literally just throwing debris into a pile. That was the wall.
Yeah. And did anyone – they must have been some sort of intelligence that let them know. Helicopters are coming.
Right.
So unless it's a dome –
yeah.
Right? I mean, so
shouldn't we build
with a force field,
ground to air rockets or support something,
or ditches, like traps, things like, or that's the other thing. That's the other big problem I had with both sides of this war, which really there wasn't a war. The war was between the humans.
Right.
And I was hoping there would be an ape war, but that's fine. I'm going in with my own expectations. That movie doesn't have to fulfill those. It has to tell a good story. And in this movie, the humans and the apes, first of all, have no concept of the idea of stealth. Like, the idea of maybe we shouldn't be hiding behind the rocks so close to the front gate of the prison when we're doing our reconnaissance. Maybe as we're coming into this human settlement, we shouldn't be riding our horses right down the middle of the street. I mean, all over the place. And I'm thinking to myself, Caesar, you're a terrible leader. You and Rick from The Walking Dead should hang out because you're both awful.
Well, there's no ninja apes. You know, there's no stealth. It's hard to be stealthy.
And also, wouldn't you think that after all the shit that's gone down before, that someone should suggest to Caesar, or Caesar might want to come up with this idea by himself, of like, hey, maybe we need some cars. Maybe we need some bigger guns. Like, instead, like, we have to phase out the whole spear thing. Like, come on. You are in danger. And you know that they're coming for you. No, even if you're like, oh, my God, they caught us off guard because there was the white ape that, you know, turned on us and gave our location away. Well, they were going to find you at some point because they have technology and you don't. And so, like, that was the other thing, too, is that I was expecting they would be a little more fortified by this point in the trilogy. Mm-hmm.
And more proactively, like, going out, stealing weapons, killing soldiers, getting their guns and ammo, and fortifying ourselves.
Because they did have that. They would take any of the weapons that they would get off the soldiers. They would actually use the guns.
But didn't it seem like they didn't have too many?
Didn't have too many.
It almost felt like Matt Reeves, who was directed it and one of the writers, should have watched the original Red Dawn more. Because, right? Yes. Isn't like what
Wolverines.
Do you know I like both versions of that movie? I even like the remake of that movie.
That's a bold statement. Well, if you're going to be critical of this one, and then you're going to say you're critical of War for the Planet of the Apes, but you like the
one in my mind is a B movie, and the other one is like we're taking this to another level. One is more cartoon, especially the remake.
Yeah, the remake is cartoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
This isn't a Red Dawn.
No, I think we should now change it to Red Dawn.
Ape Dawn. Let's talk about Ape Dawn. So now I want to talk about this virus
in the movie.
In the movie, yes.
Weird time to bring it up, Chris.
The quote, the simian flu. You know, we're all infected. Let's face it.
Okay.
Everyone on this show is.
Can I ask you a question about that right off the bat?
Mm-hmm.
And this could be just because I'm dense, but I didn't, like, when they find the little girl.
Yes.
I had no idea what was going on. Like, the idea that she had blood coming out of her nose, I didn't know who she was. I didn't know what her relationship was to the guy. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that it took me almost the entire movie to figure out that the blood from her nose, because she has the virus. And anyway, go on with what you were saying.
What I was going to say, that girl is actually Nova that becomes
yes.
the girl in the original Planet of the Apes movies. What I was going to say is the virus, like, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of specific rules, the way these were kind of buttoned up a little bit,
yes.
because the virus, the way it was presented is that, okay, this is a virus that's affecting the apes, making them smarter, and is also making the humans mute and dumber. So if that's the case, then when they found the little girl, why didn't it affect the father? Because obviously the doll was infected because that's how Woody Harrelson got infected.
Yes. So, almost immediately.
Almost immediately.
Yeah.
But the father wasn't affected. So is there right. some kind of resistance some people
And that's what
have?
Confused me because
yeah.
I didn't know what was going on. Like,
right.
If he was also mute, then you'd go, oh, okay.
Right.
Here's what confused me. I had a lot of timeline issues with regards to this is a lead. This is a prequel. This is a lead up to the original Planet of the Apes, right? So, and maybe this has been explained elsewhere and I've missed it.
In my fan fiction? Go ahead.
Yes.
So in the original one, Charlton Heston, they show the time clock on their spaceship. It goes thousands of years.
Yeah.
Thousands of years.
Yeah.
So from 1990 or whenever he supposedly leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So,
where did they get that date wrong?
Yeah. So this is what, 15, 20 years after society collapsed?
Yeah. My wife had a problem with this too, by
yeah,
the way.
Because so they're yeah. like, I love the fact that they're like, oh, her name's Nova. I love the callback
yeah.
to the original. But I'm like, so this girl lives to be 3,500 years old? Mm-hmm. Or where is that
time? Yes,
that's a problem.
Well, it's a
problem.
Series of Novas. Every girl born to her is named Nova.
Well, see, yeah. But then, so then they also
they don't know how to talk anymore. So
right. yeah, yeah. So everyone just hand down the.
Well, they did that twice. Yeah. They did it with her, and they did it with Cornelius.
Right.
So both her and Cornelius are 3,000 years old.
Right.
Or they've named their next 20 children,
right.
or 1,000 children. You know what I mean? Like,
I was thinking, well, they're going to mess with the time. Everything
yeah,
yeah. is going to be a little bit more immediate.
They're
yeah.
going to retcon the timeline or
yes.
something.
They're
like
totally
yeah.
going to retcon.
Or they're
yeah.
just going to say, oh, there's the spaceship clock got broken.
Yes.
I'll buy that too, considering sure. what else happens in that movie. Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Right.
I would buy the space time clock got broken.
Space clock went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
We're not 3,000 years in the future. We're just like 50 or 100.
All it has to do is spin around wildly once, and then you're like, oh, it's broken.
It's broken. Crazy clock.
Right. Look, my coffee maker was not working when I got back from Comic-Con. That's, you know, technology is on that just teeter-totter edge there. You never know when something's going to just flip on you.
So you're going to find a crumbled Statue of Liberty on a beach is what you're telling me.
Yes.
And just
I'm
going to
find a
why.
Mr. Coffee on the beach.
No! You maniacs! You finally done it! Strong Brew is dead! Joe DiMaggio,
now,
you did it!
What were some of the other Easter eggs that you noticed in the film? Like, because I don't think, I'm sure Graham and I didn't see all of them.
Well, I mean, most of the ones, there weren't too many veiled ones. I mean, the ones that right off the bat, yeah. I mean, like, doing the Nova thing I thought was wonderful because I'm your audience. I'm the guy, all you have to do is provide me with all that little nerd fan stuff, and I'll go crazy. I'm with you. And that's what bothered me about that movie is because I felt like it was addressing me as a fan and someone who, you know, respects this franchise. But then there were so many things that were just sloppy, bad screenwriting that were just like, and it made the movie drag. Like the whole prison section of that film where
the Great Escape.
It's the Great Escape. And, but it's a terrible Great Escape. And having little
escape.
Yeah, the great. I want to see that movie.
Yes.
Let's make that movie. The fourth in this series should be that the apes start turning purple or whatever color he was.
Baseball
yeah,
caps.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm in.
But I mean the breakout thing and having the little Jar Jar Binks guy running around.
That was Steve Zahn, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. That's Steve Zahn.
Mm-hmm.
And
did the zoo primate who
got smarter.
Yes.
Who got smarter. He's not one of them, but he's taught himself to be smarter.
I liked him in the very first scene. I liked him.
Best
and I found
clothes.
Him amusing where mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is just to kind of introduce him, but he's going to play a more important role instead of idiot, loud-talking ape
Gilligan.
When you need to be quiet. Yeah. Again,
he was Gilligan.
No concept of he was Gilligan. He was Gilligan. Yes. No concept of stealth once again, and you know him putting his little head up in the holes that were under the prison camp, and like, I mean, the virus explains a lot if it's making humans dumber.
Right.
Because these humans were the dumbest humans. And the way that they protected that camp, there's like one guard and he gets shit thrown on him. And then that tricks him into unlocking the gate to confront the apes. And then they all
Who
escape.
Who threw that?
Yeah. Really? 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 Guys. They are laughing in our faces with this kind of thing. I mean, I just, throughout that movie, having the little girl who decides to walk into the prison camp and help Caesar.
Yeah, no one noticed her.
No one notices. All you got to do is just walk. Like, that's the one place in the prison camp.
The wall wasn't done yet.
So then we need more guards, right?
Right.
Yeah. We need some guards. How about some guards?
Just one who gets poo thrown on him. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, and then every time the head comes up through the little hole underground. How about there's one part where they go where the little girl gets in. She helps Caesar, gets him some food and water, and then leaves her little doll. She has that little doll. Right. It leaves it in the cage. And then Woody Harrelson notices it and says, do a sweep of the area. Well, apparently that never happened because the sweep of the area would have found the apes.
Yeah.
And also might have found some holes in the ground and then like, oh, hey, maybe we should check out under the ground because they've got to know that all exists,
well,
right?
Well, maybe it meant sweep just a very small area.
Or literally sweep, like dust and crumbs and you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the humans are getting dumber.
Get the dustpan.
My other favorite dumb human scene is so that like the... The other group of humans is now coming to attack, and the apes, for some reason, are now in the line of fire, all jumping around.
Right.
And they shoot the apes. Like, as far as I know, I don't see any apes with helicopters. Maybe you should save some of this ammo and point it upward. But, I mean, that kind of thing drives me crazy, and I felt it was a really wasted opportunity because everything else is there. You've got the technology,
right.
Amazing performances. I wasn't crazy about Woody Harrelson with the stupid sunglasses, but, okay, I could have gone along with that if everything else would have been there, and it wasn't.
Well, let's go into then the ending, because obviously this is setting up. Now, they've already said in April, in October of last year, they said they're already like in production or pre-production for a fourth one, even though this was...
Right. This is supposed to be a trilogy.
Why? I see where they're like, well, why are we tied into three?
Yeah, these are making money. Let's do another one.
Right.
Now, I was talking to Graham about this. What do you think about this, Matt? What if the next movies weren't prequels? They went past the original 70s movies, and we see what happens after that. Would you like to see those?
So, which 70s movie? Because at some point you need to abandon some of those sequels.
You mean the one that blew up the planet? Yeah, there's that one.
That one that killed everybody?
Let's just say...
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Beneath? You don't
Beneath
like Beneath?
Planet of the Apes?
It's okay, but no, my point is you're done. You killed... It's over. Like, you blew up the planet, and now we're going to go shopping in San Francisco? Like, that's like...
Yeah, you definitely have to...
That is one of my favorite dumb plot points of all time.
Yeah. You'd have to retcon a fair amount of that out.
My favorite, if your listeners have never seen Beneath the Planet of the Apes, you have to see it also and then immediately see Escape because the idea
Which is the shopping one, Escape?
That's Escape,
Escape, okay.
And with Escape, the fact that like earlier in the first Planet of the Apes movie, Taylor makes a paper airplane and they're like, oh. Cut to Beneath, they've now... managed to get the original spaceship out of the Forbidden Zone Lake, fix it, and leave the Earth's atmosphere. Like, these are some smart apes, man. That's pretty good. And then go back in time.
And wasn't there a TV show, too? Ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, there was a TV show. I watched a TV show all the time.
Like, so you have all of this material that maybe some of it's canon, maybe some of it isn't.
Right.
You know, you pick what you want,
sure.
But... I'm saying just, are there stories to be told after the original Planet of the Apes? Are there movies after that?
And then the ending of this, of War, where does War go? Like, where does War go and where should it go in terms of the whole...
If you're going to continue doing prequels.
Where? Do you just retcon the whole thing, and then the next one is like we have a recap, we have a new Taylor and a new Nova, and we just like what do you do?
Well,
because the ending of this was clearly like, all right,
Moses has reached the promised land.
Humans are awful. Humans are going to kill themselves, right. Mm-hmm. And they're all getting the dumb virus.
And we're already retconning out the Tim Burton version, so that's already
Thank
gone.
You very Thank much. God. I want to hug you.
Yeah. Do we need to even mention that version?
Yeah.
Like, let's, that was...
Oh, that never, yeah, it was a fever dream.
That's fan fiction. Yes. It's fan fiction fever dreams.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what
that, yeah. Made for people who are not fans. So.
No. I don't know who that's made for, but yeah.
But I really feel like are there more stories after the original that we could do now with the technology that we have?
Well, again, Beneath is actually one of my favorite apes films because when I saw that as a kid, I was blown. I saw this on TV because I'm old enough to tell you that I saw Planet of the Apes, the original, in the theater mm-hmm. as a kid, and this was rated G, and it was rated G. And there's a lot of shit that'll fuck up a kid in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, God. Yeah,
stuffed humans
insane.
Taylor getting shot in the neck and all kinds of horrible things.
Well, the other thing, too, you have to understand about Planet of the Apes. So this came out in 1968. There's a lot of Charlton Heston's character in the original one. I mean, Rod Serling was one of the screenplays.
Yes, right.
So this is brilliant science fiction. So when they land on the planet, Charlton Heston keeps riding that other astronaut.
Yeah.
Oh, all your idols and all your, you are, you know, because that guy, they were painting him as just sort of some sort of whatever, hero, successful guy. And Charlton Heston's just going, everything you thought was important, it's in the shitter now, pal. Like, it was like, wow, he was so dark and he was so...
And this is what you're fixating on, my service record?
Yeah, exactly. It's like they built,
Yeah, that's all great, Taylor. I'm looking for water right now.
I don't care that you're talking about there was love making, but no love.
Dana Gould had this thing about Stuart, the girl, the blonde that dies.
Right.
And that she's talking about her. He's like, yes, she was going to be the Eve.
Right.
And we were going to be the Adams. Like, no, I think she was probably thought that she was going to be the science officer. I don't think I don't think the Eve part was.
I don't think she realized I'm going to be getting triple teamed by all these creeps.
Oh, my God. Take a number. But so getting to your
science
point.
Science officer. Well, you fucking meatheads.
Wow.
Jock idiots.
Didn't read the fine print. What you're saying about the sequels, though, is one of the things I loved about Beneath is that Beneath went bonkers. Like you, with Planet, you have a pretty straightforward story with the surprise ending.
Right.
With Beneath, now you've got mutants. You've got a dictatorial gorilla. You've got all these.
You've got a doomsday machine.
A doomsday. They not only are they mutants that have the ability to enter your mind and make you fight or kill each other against your will, but you have a group of people who are scarred. They wear masks to cover that, and they worship an atomic bomb. And by the end of the film, the Earth ends. And I remember being a kid watching this on TV, and Taylor sets off the Alpha Omega bomb, and you've
not
got like
played by Charlton Heston.
Right.
Taylor is played by. Well, it's actually Brent. He's like
no. Taylor's the one who sets off the bomb, though.
Yeah, Taylor's there at the very.
Because
end.
Oh, that's Brent,
right. They meet at the very end.
Brent gets shot up by Ursus.
That's right, and they have that weird.
So does Taylor. Yeah.
That weird. It's 1970, so they can't hug. They have that weird where they shake each other and that weird man. They want to hug each other, but they're
a man half shake, half hug.
Hug. They get close, like I want to hug him, but oh, that'll make me.
I now have to watch that again.
Oh God,
just for that.
Yeah, because actually, they replayed when I first moved to LA. We talked about this in the other episode. I saw they played these back to back at the New Beverly when I first moved here in the 90s, and I was like, oh, they were so fantastic. So anyway, you're right. Taylor did come in at the end, and he blows up
the entire Earth, and then you got right. Paul Frees coming in at the end with the
voiceover,
the third planet from the sun is now a burnt out cinder.
But nice. But the way he said it though, he goes
finally
a small insignificant
is now dead.
He also said a small insignificant planet. So it's just I remember watching that as a kid, like, wow. So first of all, we're just some little speck of dust in the universe.
Right. Like, all of a sudden now you're getting existential.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you're like, holy like, why shit, do I what have is to my do place my... in the world?
Yeah.
And
why do I have to do my homework now?
and if we're going to, and because obviously this was in the middle of the Cold War.
Yeah.
About us blowing each other up. That's done. We don't have to worry about that now. Everything's great on planet Earth. But
yeah, thank God.
Whew! But that was, I remember that was a...
No one has missiles but us.
That was a... And we're not, we're very responsible. And we have other yeah, responsible countries gotta, on this planet. Everything's
one
great.
Thing we don't make is mistakes.
Yes. Well, America, what we do, we learn from.
Yeah.
We absolutely. Our regime change yep. works. But I remember as a kid, that glare, I was like terrified of the like, oh, we're gonna end, us and the Soviets are gonna blow each other up.
Oh, yeah.
And this was like, and it seemed like such a big deal. And this went, yeah, if you dumb humans can't get along, who cares? You're gonna blow, your little small planet is over. And no one will notice.
Oh, yeah.
Nope, not well, until the aliens land.
Yeah. yeah. And I remember watching that and like, wait a minute, that's the end? Like, it's the end.
Yeah.
And on top, for everything, for everyone, the entire Earth is dead. And I also...
It's
as
a
I
more sobering, but still as poignant as Doctor Strangelove's ending. Both of them end
yes.
with,
right.
it's over. This one, Beneath, is, like, real serious. And and Doctor Strangelove is like, ha-ha, idiots.
Now, yeah. Escape kind of... pretty much goes with the premise of, well, the second one didn't happen.
No, it does. No, the second one, they go back in time.
They go back in time before it happened.
They go back in time before it happened. And what you get with Escape, I guess two was, you know, Beneath was so heavy mm-hmm. that they figured, all right, you know what we got to do? We got to do.
Lighten it up.
We got to do a Love American style ape film. We got to, you know, like, it's all, as you said, we're kind shopping.
Of a,
we're
kind of a that girl.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. Daisies, roses.
Yep. Somebody's going to lose a kite.
Yeah.
yeah. Who can turn a world on with a smile?
Yeah. Zira sees herself as a mannequin.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Oh, God, I want to make that now.
Oh.
But yeah, I think that they felt like they had to lighten it up. And then after that, then you get into Conquest where it's now back to dead serious.
Right.
And it's civil rights. And I remember watching that in the theater. Now, there's two versions of that. The one that they released in the theater where they had to recut the film at the end of the movie. It's basically Rise is Conquest. Oh. And Caesar, originally played by Roddy McDowall, at the end of that movie, he's taken over this ape complex and they're all about to slaughter the humans, and he says, but we will put down our weapons, because they did a test screening, and people got too into the apes slaughtering all the humans. It was so dark. And right now, when you get the box sets, they include that original director's cut where they slaughter everybody.
Oh, wow.
And it's great. And that's the definitive one to see, I think, now. But I remember seeing that in the theater.
But where did the TV show fit in the timeline?
I think it was not. It was an alternative
right.
history. Because mm-hmm. the apes in that one, I mean, I guess you could say if you wanted to play with it a little bit, the human beings were not that smart, but they weren't really – it wasn't that they weren't smart. They just weren't educated.
Right.
And they could still speak. And so I guess you could argue that maybe – gradually over another 100 years. What's another 100 years in Planet of the Apes, right?
Right.
Yeah. Give or take.
Yeah.
That they forget how to speak. But that was another one. The TV show, because I, growing up, apes freak, had all the Mego figures, was into it. Mm-hmm. And then the show comes out like, oh my God, a Planet of the Apes TV show. And the first one's okay. You know, they land and they're, all right, there's the Ursus kind of character. All right, they're fine. And then by the end of it, it was like, I don't know, like they had a bunch of scripts that were from Quincy.
Yeah.
And they just
called Quincy. Like a couple of Rockford Files.
Yeah,
thrown
yeah.
In
they're like, yeah, just change it to Apes. It'll be Apes. Instead of Chicago, it's Ape City. Okay.
It's like anything. Well, there's a policewoman yeah, script we never yeah. shot.
I mean, there was one. There was actually one episode where it's like, you know, there's cheating. They're having a horse race, and there's, you know, they are cheating on the horse race, and so humans got to get in. Like, what the fuck? It's the Planet of the Apes, and the story's about a crooked horse race?
Yes. We take gambling serious here, Taylor.
Ape must not cheat ape.
I remember the show not lasting very long.
No, it was one season. It was.
I remember I did the same thing. I was a kid. I was so into Planet of the Apes, and then I watched a couple, and I remember the TV show. I was like, this will be awesome. And I was two episodes in, I was like,
imagine if you're disappointing children with your show. I'm like, really? I mean, this is.
You've lost yourself.
Yeah, this is, you know, the bar was pretty low. We would have liked it.
Okay, but let's go back now.
Yeah, so just give us this. And it's like the thing with superhero stuff now is like, the superhero shows back then, it's like, you know, if you made it just like the comic, we'd all love it,
it would run forever. Forever.
Right. Yeah.
Forever. Mm-hmm. So let's go back, though, to the ending of this movie, War for the Planet of the Apes, right? The humans kill each other. The apes make it out. They survive.
Actually, the humans don't kill each other.
Well,
it's a act of God.
Right, an avalanche.
Yes. It's an avalanche, which another giant problem. Like, that was just like.
It was a very selective
let's
avalanche.
Let's end this.
Yes. And because it was interesting because it was a lot of troops. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of troops left, and they're all in winter gear. I wonder what's going to happen. Oh, we're going to get rid of them with an avalanche.
I wanted to see, like, one of them, like Wile E. Coyote, like, pull out the little umbrella.
Yeah.
Before the avalanche hit him. With a sign that says, yikes.
Yeah. So...
What did you think of that ending, though? So, like, and where does that end?
You had to get rid of a lot of the soldiers.
You had to get rid of them, but, yeah, so you're saying act of God. And then where do the apes who have now survived human avalanche, where do they go? Where do we go?
Well, so you're left with the impression that because Woody Harrelson says, well, they're going to send everybody against me. So you're left with the impression that
that's it.
Very... at least the majority of human beings now are wiped out.
And majority of the weaponry.
And the weaponry.
This is the cool thing. So they sent, that was the whole remaining army, because who hasn't died from the simian flu, this is, they're sending all the big guns down, so there's not much left.
The rest of the helicopters.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Helicopters, tanks, the majority of them just got wiped out.
Yeah.
At a ski resort.
At a ski
resort. Yes.
Worst vacation ever. But
is this a prequel to Hot Dog?
Yes.
Was Bill Dwyer in Hot Dog 2?
Yes.
God, I hope.
I think you're thinking of Ski School.
Oh Ski School. Thank you. Damn, I should know this. But so at the end, they escape the humans. They find their Shangri-La. They find their Israel. And everyone's happy. And then I saw this coming, but again, this is a spoiler thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you say whatever.
Yeah, Caesar is mortally injured.
Right.
And
by the soldier that he saved in the beginning.
Yeah, which that was another thing that was just a red herring that was unsatisfying. The idea that you build this guy up to maybe be this... something.
The one human,
and that just kind of goes nowhere. But okay, fine. He's mortally wounded and he's dying. I didn't mind the idea that Caesar dies.
Right.
Because I felt like, okay, we can tell a new story now.
Yes.
If they make more movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the way that movie, that scene was done, I felt came off a little silly. Except for his dying scene, that all of a sudden everyone's jumping around and no one really notices that, hey, how you doing, Caesar? Like, well, I seem to see a trail of blood coming after you. And are you okay? And that's the other thing, too, is like, how about medicine? Like, how about, isn't there something that they can do to try to help him? Because it didn't seem like even that was done. He was just hiding his wound. Why? Mm-hmm. Why not have they... do whatever they can to save him.
Well,
again,
the
I don't want to
have to have a heroic death. So.
I get it. Mm. I understand. I was actually all right with that because the idea that they found their place. Okay, what we know is that no place is ever safe.
Right.
So this is just a momentary respite from whatever new set of horrors. And what I'm hoping, if they are going to still play around with all the stuff from the last movies and throw in the Easter eggs, I would love to see some mutants.
Right.
The leftover, remnants of humanity. That's why I thought there might have been a nuclear thing in this to sort of set the stage.
Yeah. That's what the first one was all about. The first one was like, this is a post-nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, there's a reason why it's the Forbidden Zone, because it's nuclear, it's radiation.
Fallout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I hope that they, at least now that they've told their Caesar story, I would like to see them go a little crazy, have a little fun with
mythology.
With mythology, it's mm-hmm. the future.
Cornelius rising up.
Yeah.
And are we going to then see the battle between the chimps and the gorillas in terms of, like, you know, that was a big...
Like battle, yeah.
Like battle.
For dominance.
But that was also, that was very much introduced in the first one.
In the first one, yes.
Yeah. Cornelius was a scientist and, you know, and all that stuff. But the gorillas are more warlike.
And I love how they switch it because actually in nature... Chimpanzees are way more violent than gorillas are. Yeah. I mean, they're if you ever study anything about the wars that chimpanzees have amongst each other, they're ruthless.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And they'll tear
other, right?
another chimpanzee to pieces.
Right.
As a kind of almost like a symbol to the other group, you know, the other tribe of chimpanzees, but yeah, I always thought that was kind of funny. And now what I liked about this movie is that they kind of switched it back.
Right.
That because most of the apes in those movies are chimpanzees.
Right.
And
the gorillas were the ones that sort of were docile and got that just acquiesced to the power of the war of the humans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I just say my favorite scene in that movie, and I know a lot of people have also pointed this out, but what I really, that scene where Maurice finds the little girl, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. is like, I could watch that again and again,
right.
of how subtle that thing is and how moving it is and how it's no dialogue.
Nope.
And I definitely recommend that you see this movie.
I mean, just a few, just to acknowledge the technology in this film, where motion captured apes look so realistic that they can make you feel those kinds of emotion,
yes.
even with acting with or without human counterparts. It's an achievement.
Without a doubt.
I think if you like the first two, you should see this. And I think there are definitely some flaws and problems in it, but there are some amazing moments. Aaron, right. what did you think of this film?
I loved it. I wanted to see if our resident expert noticed this. When Maurice speaks and he says Nova's name to her, it's Charlton Heston from 68. It's his voice.
I did not get that. No.
As an audio guy, I picked it out immediately.
No, I didn't. Wow.
Yeah, it's not in the trivia. It's not anywhere, but it's
is
so
that
clear
right?
to me. Yeah.
Wow, you are good.
Yeah, yeah.
I relish my crown to you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You should put that on IMDb.
You should.
Yeah, you should.
But I'll get no credits.
Yeah.
But yeah, and in terms of where the franchise goes from here, I also read in the trivia that this is the first in the franchise of this new franchise that doesn't mention the original novel as source material. So they can kind of go anywhere.
I think my guess
we'll
is
see mutants at some point.
My guess is they're gonna since these movies do well and they are pretty entertaining,
right?
And they do have decent social commentary. My guess is they're going to just retcon the whole timeline and just start a whole new universe.
Right, right. Go Star Trek.
And they should.
And they should. And they'll give us Easter eggs. A spaceship's going to crash and a tailor's going to walk out.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and it's...
All of that is fine, but you don't have to... Again, you don't have to link it directly to the original series. You shouldn't,
Because the original series kind of went all over the places we discussed earlier.
Yeah, yeah. It's mm-hmm. hit and miss.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. hit and miss. Going back to it now, there's a lot of, even like Escape, which I always felt was a weaker one. When I watch it now, I kind of like it more because, you know, it's a thing of its time.
Yes. Right.
So I get that, but we have those films now.
Yeah. Right.
We don't need, it's like with the Star Trek films, you don't need to do Khan again. Let's see something else.
Right.
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 Yeah, you don't need to do the same thing worse. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, that should be
very
a good,
wise words, yes. Mr. Mancini.
All right. Well, I think that's...
Any final
no, this can't be it.
About...
Yeah. What?
Final thoughts, Matt Weinhold?
Red Dawn. Now.
Pat Swayze's masterpiece.
I believe Dana right now, and hopefully I'm correct with all this information, but I think he's working on doing like a graphic novel of the original Rod Serling script.
Oh, wow.
Because
we had Scott Tipton in here who wrote the crossover with Star Trek and the Planet of the Apes, and they had all
which I really enjoyed.
I enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, that's so Chris got it for me as a gift.
Yeah, I was like, you got it. Kirk meets Taylor. How can you not?
And it works.
I know, of course it does. Yeah. It's perfect. Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah, and
it's so great.
And it had all of Dana's essays at the end.
Yes,
which was really cool.
Yeah, and what we haven't discussed is very briefly. The animated series.
Oh, I forgot.
There was an animated Saturday morning TV series that was really based on the book because the apes have tanks and jeeps and spaceships and all kinds of stuff. And so they have a regular technological society. And it's horrible animation.
Yeah.
I actually have an animation cell, which I think there were three.
Wow.
Because
that was just how much movement.
That much movement. Yeah. but as an oddity, it's worth checking out just because the fact that this, you know, they cobbled this thing together. And I think they get, I can't remember the actor's name, but they get as a voice actor, I think the guy from Beneath.
Oh, okay.
The black dude in Beneath.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember his name.
Right. All right.
Well, that was good. Glad to have Matt join us. Matt, where can people find you on the internets?
Facebook. There's my website, mattweinhold.com. You can get my CD, Dead Funny.
At Comedy Film Nerds.
Yes, and at Comedy Film Nerds. And check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, Monster Party.
Great show. It's a blast.
Yeah,
you guys will love
it. Much fun.
It's solid nerdery.
Yeah. It is very solid. It's very intense, passionate nerdism.
Yep.
We have a lot of great guests present company here.
Very passionate co-hosts.
Yes. The one thing I can say about this podcast is that you're not going to get cool, savvy nerds. These are my friends. These are real nerds. So, and they act like nerds, and
they don't see a lot of sunlight.
No. We almost come to blows over things that aren't really that important.
Yeah. It did bring me back to the heated arguments I had when I was like 19 about crap that's not that important.
No. But it delights me at the same, oh my God, one of our hosts, Larry, can get apoplectic over things like, you know, running zombies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To the point where now I just bait him. Now it's just like, well, if it were a running zombie, it'd be much better. And then you add liquor to that, and it's a fight.
So what if it was jogging? You know, it's just like a jogging zone.
Speed walking to me.
That's what I always thought. Like, The Walking Dead, just walk a little faster.
Yeah.
with running zombies, it's your ass. You're dead.
Well, that's it, guys. That's a War for the Planet of the Apes spoiler up. We love doing these, as we said, because the Patreon hit the $1,000 level. We're doing two a month. If you can get us to the next level of Patreon, we can do more cool stuff, more video shows. Right now, we're just cutting up the video from these episodes, but we want to do more video interviews and all kinds of different stuff. So thank you guys so much for supporting the show. Of course, patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds. Thank you so much, Matt Weinhold.
I love you guys. I mean that.
Glad to have you.
We love you.
Wow, this got uncomfortable.
It really did. It's weird.
And you're the one who had the problem with the Taylor Brent thing.
I just Taylor Brented you. That's you were being legitimate, and then I went,
it's okay. All right.
I have a hard time expressing
it. You went ahead and did it.
You felt something. Damn you, Brent.
And one insignificant little podcast blows up and dies.
Now a tiny piece of my heart is dead.
Thank you, Aaron Brungard, and everybody at the All Things Comedy World Headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Retcon it.
You maniacs, you've finally done it!